Today on Secula, we've got some breaking news that could change everything for President Trump.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secula. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Secula.
All right, so in the midst of the Democrat National Convention, there is some breaking news, and this could change considerably the race for President Trump. Yesterday, in a discussion on a podcast, it was Robert Kennedy Jr., so RFK Jr.'s running mate, Nicole Shannon, who has been a main funding source for the campaign. She was formerly married to one of the founders of Google, but was also, in her own mind, a tech person and kind of understands the tech world. She's the VP candidate, and she was having this discussion, and in the discussion said, you know what, we're very much thinking about going to the Trump campaign and actually endorsing as, I guess, a party or whoever they are, I guess, RFK and her, and try to take their supporters with them. Now, their supporters don't automatically go 100% and vote for President Trump. What does it tell us? Two things. One, it shows in their polling that they are doing better amongst likely Trump voters, or people who, that would be the second choice, would be Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, than they are amongst the Harris voters right now. And now there was a shift there, so maybe this has even happened in the last couple of weeks since Joe Biden has been taken off the top of the ticket. Because I think then it was probably even though Joe Biden wasn't doing so great, he wasn't as divisive. I'm not sure if I thought it was a little bit more probably even. But they're also having to weigh that versus becoming a registered third party in the future, so it's not so hard to get on the ballots. And what I think we need to kind of break down here real quickly is what this could potentially mean for Donald Trump. In the midst of the DNC getting an endorsement from obviously someone who's done very popular among another set of voters who feel like they don't have a home, Logan.
Yeah, we went to one of his events as press just to see it, and it was an interesting group of people. I would say they definitely leaned more conservative in general. These are people that had a lot of issues with the current administration. So they were either going to be a Democrat voter who could not vote for Biden, or a Republican voter who wasn't thrilled with some of Trump's policies. Not most of them, but just a few of them. So I think that was a pretty interesting thing. You saw a lot of mainline kind of conservatives showing up for this event. And Shanahan spoke, as well as RFK. And they have been interesting over the last couple days, even rolling out content that would lead you to believe that there is this sort of moderate swell happening within them right now. People that are fed up with it. I do think that conversation of having RFK being the running mate, remember that happened before Vance was announced. At this point, because that was when there was that discussion of could he swing enough votes, but that was when he was going against Biden. Now you have a situation where you actually have them, and I have to say, in a very refreshing way, you have Shanahan, who I don't know if we have time to play, I think we have time to play it, Shanahan being this transparent. You don't hear politicians ever being this transparent about what's going on in their campaign. Yeah, so I found that pretty refreshing. Yeah. Take a listen.
There's two options that we're looking at, and one is staying in, forming that new party, but we run the risk of a Kamala Harris and Waltz presidency because we draw votes from Trump, or we draw somehow more votes from Trump. Or we walk away right now and join forces with Donald Trump, and you know, we walk away from that and we explain to our base why we're making this decision.
So there, I mean, I think the big point there is they have to really be able to explain it to their base to make it something that's worthwhile for President Trump, because if they can swing 4 or 5%, all the polls you're seeing right now, that if they're right, yeah, I'm Donald Trump just number. Takes a 5% lead now.
That's a huge number to swing if you could actually do it. If they actually could get all of RFK's base, because this is probably one of the most successfully run third party candidacy in our lifetime.
Yep.
So 4 or 5% gets swung in either way. You know, that could be a pretty big landslide change.
That's what Ross Perot was able to do. And I asked George H.W. Bush and that family how they felt about that election, because again, Ross Perot out of that race, probably not a Bill Clinton in the White House who's speaking tonight at the DNC. We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. This is the question. Who would you be comfortable with in the RFK, if RFK was in the administration? What job would you be comfortable with him having? 1-800.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. So, this could be a huge shakeup in the midst of the Democrat National Convention, which, again, we're not going to spend tons of time on today. I think the focus is obviously going to be, how does Waltz introduce himself tonight to the American people who don't follow the news as closely? And then how does Harris introduce herself to the American people, though she's been vice president, as a presidential candidate? I think last night they had a lot more momentum, a lot more energy. Obviously, the Obamas are extremely popular. There were some lines from Michelle Obama, if we want to, we'll get into it later, that I thought were just worth showing, because I thought it was kind of shows how aggressive they're willing to go, even with a former first lady. It was interesting to me that Michelle Obama gave a much more hard-hitting political speech than the former president, Barack Obama. And then I thought about it for a second. I said, you know what? He's part of the former president's club, and usually those in that club, while you can be against each other politically, you typically aren't as pointedly.
A little more respectful.
Right. It's a little different. So a lot of talk was like, should he have gone first and things like that. All it showed was that, you know, Michelle Obama, if this election they can't figure out, I would imagine that's who they're going to next. It was clear.
It was pretty clear, yeah.
The control that they've got, the way that they can just own the room by being there. But again, what's really important is actually getting the votes. And typically during these conventions, really the news focuses almost 100% on the Democrats. You don't get a lot of, you get a little bit of Trump here and there, a little bit of Vance here and there doing some. But with RFK stepping in, and do we have the Rob Schneider sound? This morning on Fox and Friends. So they're going out to places where Trump voters are watching, getting their morning news. That's where I got it this morning. I was dropping off my son at school. Heard Rob Schneider was coming up, and I was like, what? He has a new book coming out, I know.
And he headlined the RFK event that Will and I attended.
He's an RFK supporter.
He is, but he is certainly more on the conservative side of an RFK supporter. He actually did his last comedy special with Fox Nation. So he is in that sphere.
Right. So let's take a listen. This is this morning in his conversation with Brian Kilmeade on Fox News, Byte 19.
That brings me to the guy that you're supporting, RFK. You talk to him regularly. The rumors is he's open to maybe joining forces with Trump. Trump said he'd be looking to add into a cabinet. What do you hear?
I would, I support RFK, and I think that he will. Mm-hmm. What happened is it's been unfair. We talk about the democracy. The Democrats have crushed democracy. They've tried to eliminate any chance for a third party. He will. I believe, though, that soon he will back Trump.
Wow.
That's my opinion.
You
So, I mean, there it is, right there. I mean, this is someone very
close to it.
Close, because like you said, like, he's like the hype guy on the.
He was one of the headliners. Him and Russell Brand headlined the event. I mean, and he was probably, he probably had the most stage time. And probably the, and they like thanked him continually as like the ringleader sort of to bring it together. So you know he is actually hearing from inside sources. They're not just saying this. They're not having Shanahan out there saying this casually. It's almost as if it's a done deal. And yeah, President Trump addressed it. I think we should hear that.
Do we have that sound, guys? Yep. Yeah, so President Trump yesterday, he was, of course, they do the counter campaigning as much as they can during these conventions. He was in Michigan. He had finished an event, and this news had come out. So he got asked the question. Take a listen.
I like him a lot. I respect him a lot. I probably would if something like that would happen. He's a very different kind of a guy, very smart guy. And yeah, I would be honored by that endorsement.
Not only honored by that endorsement, what he was responding to is, would you have him as part of your cabinet?
Yeah, would you put him in your administration? And a question I had for people is, you know, where do you think he fits in the Trump administration where you'd be comfortable that you're still getting the conservative, you know, that you elected with Donald Trump and the policies you elected by joining forces with someone who is much more on the libertarian side of the party and might have some views that you you disagree with. You might be with 75%, let's say, but 25% very much disagree with. And so where would be the places you think they should go? 1-800-684-3110. We'd like to get your thoughts on that. I also think what's interesting amongst all of this is how and Fox News has got this up, that this has become an abortion palooza event in Chicago. And what I'm really like dialing it down to, and I wonder if you all are picking this up, is that it's not so much, and this is why I think our counter campaign, Logan, is so important, and we'll explain that in a second, but that abortion is being redefined as we watch the Democrat convention into everything involving reproductive health but for birthing a live child. Yeah. So abortion is getting a man going in and getting a vasectomy. Abortion is a miscarriage, and the miscarriage being removed. The abortion is birth control. Abortion is IVF. Abortion is other kinds of fertility treatments that even Waltz has got confused. So it's like, instead of it just being that like reproductive health was kind of a broad word that did include abortion.
Everyone knew that's what they meant. But now
the word is abortion.
Yeah, it's been very interesting. We talked about this the other day on Monday's show. It is, they have redefined that word. Not only redefined it, they have embraced it. And it was a word that was kind of it was kind of a scary word that people were not willing to say because no one really wants to talk about it. And I understand it's a sensitive topic. But instead, what they've done is sort of flipped it and made it something to be proud of.
To point out too, and you mentioned, Logan, that like RFK Jr., who was not someone who was considered to be pro-life 100%.
No, in fact, he put out a statement. At first, he said, "I want no restrictions on abortion," and then
he started clarifying.
Yeah, he started actually listening, is what it seemed like, to a lot of the pro-life advocates who said, "No, you don't really understand what you're saying." And he kind of then backtracked, said, "You know what? I didn't know what I was saying. Now that I do, I don't. You know, we gotta really, you know, get our souls
right."
I think
we have that sound. So this is again why I think Republicans who consider themselves pro-life may become more and more comfortable with having him somewhere in the administration. I'm not saying he has to be the head of that, you know, but take a listen.
85% of the abortions that take place in this country are among black women. And the institutions themselves, the Planned Parenthood facilities, are most often sited in black neighborhoods. And for a lot of these young black mothers, the difficult choice to have an abortion is driven by economic indicators, by economic strictures. Today, childcare costs on average about 37% of a mother's income. And we should not be in a situation in this country where any mother is aborting a child because they believe they can't afford that baby. And we ought to be putting the same amount of resources into making sure nobody has to make that choice as we're putting into Planned Parenthood.
Well, and see, this is what pro-life pregnancy centers, Logan. Let me take this right to Massachusetts and our campaign, Logan, because this is what we are fighting against in Massachusetts for those pro-life pregnancy centers. And what he's talking about doing is really a mass influx of resources so that if you're going to give $500 million to Planned Parenthood, how about give $500 million to these pro-life pregnancy centers so that no woman who walks in their door has to ever feel like she's not going to have enough money for, is it child care, diapers, food,
clothes,
she needs to keep the
formula.
She needs to keep working, that she's not going to have to spend up to 37% of her income on a child care. And this is why in Massachusetts, they said this is just state number one. They don't want these places to even be an option. But RFK Jr., in just a matter of months, his smart guy, figured it out.
Yeah, exactly. Found something that was actually in the middle where I think a lot of people land, even if you are 100% a pro-life advocate.
That takes out 85% of, said, if that's 85% of abortions, the other 15% of abortions, I guarantee you, are covered by the exceptions.
Well, and I think this would really resonate with the America First crowd,
yep,
because one of the big criticisms of the Biden-Harris administration is all of the funding to Ukraine, all of this money that's going elsewhere. He's taking something and saying, legitimately, how about we take these funds and use it at home to make sure that people don't have to make a decision like that based off of economics? Yes, it's a more moderate position than traditionally where conservatives come from, but I think it's one that's very America First. It is very much something that a Trump voter would resonate with because of the way he's positioning it.
Listen, we know at the ACLJ, and legal challenges we face right now are immense. We're a little bit behind our goal, and that's because you've got the DNC now. It's kind of like those RNC weeks. We could really use your financial help. We need to meet our goals to fight massive threats to our liberty like we've never seen. So please have your gift doubled at ACLJ.org today. We just talked about those pro-life centers under attack by taxpayer-funded smear campaigns. This abortion palooza going on in Chicago right now. Churches banned from using public property. That case being filed. Whistleblowers being punished for exposing deep state corruption. Israel faces unending attacks. We're having an update later today from our director of ACLJ Jerusalem, Jeff Balaban. Your ACLJ is battling each and every one of these cases, but that requires substantial resources. We can win, Logan, but we need to have the resources to continue and expand these legal battles.
That's right. That's right. So I encourage you right now, if you're watching online, you can scan that QR code you see on your screen right now, or if you're listening, go to ACLJ.org. Have your donation doubled today. We are supporting these pro-life centers. They're under major attacks, and we need to be there for them. When you hear those clips saying, well, at least we ought to be putting in equal amounts of support, you could be part of that support. Get behind us and these push to help protect these pro-life pregnancy centers as they are under attack, not only in Massachusetts, but around the country. And we have heard about this. We know churches are also under attack. And we've just filed so many new lawsuits, including one against, like I said, that government in Massachusetts. And we've been talking about that because you know why? On the streets, we saw it in real time. We said we have to respond and we can't do it without you. So go to ACLJ.org. Help us take action across the globe.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you. Life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Welcome back to Secchio. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I will tell you this. Talking about RFK lit up the phone lines, and that's exactly what the campaign for RFK would like to know, and the Trump campaign. Remember, we now have heard that the RFK's campaign is thinking about endorsing President Trump's, and that
we've heard about it from his vice presidential pick.
Yes, and usually, and the major funder of the effort to do the ballot initiative. They're on 23 state ballots right now. They're awaiting official confirmation for another 23 to get official like status as a party. You got to get to five. That you have to get. You know, you've got to get out enough ballots so you can get to 5% of the popular vote, so you don't have to keep going through this every single election cycle. So they'd be right on the line, but it'd be difficult. And it's right on the line, but difficult, especially because right now, as things get closer to this election, people probably get even more and more like, you know what, I'd love to vote for him, but, you know, if I vote for him, I may be putting this person in office. So interesting to note, too, they feel like they are taking away more from Trump than they are from Harris or from Biden previously, and so that they feel like that's where they've got the more negotiating power to go to. And President Trump says he likes RFK, we played it for you, and that there would be a space for him in his administration, likely at a very high level, either cabinet or right below that, like as an administrator.
Yeah, we posed that question to our phone calls, said, hey, if you want to tell us what you think in our comments, and they lit up, so let's go ahead and take some of those. Let's go to John, who's calling on line one in Hawaii. John, you're on the air.
Yes, I think he should be a Secretary of Health and Human Services. RFK Jr. has some very good ideas, as does Nicole Shanahan, about expanding health care coverage for children and et cetera. I think it'd be a great fit as long as we just leave the abortion decisions to the states, as Trump has said, and don't try to do anything on a federal level. Just leave that alone.
Yeah, right. I mean, President Trump is very clear about that while there's been some moves in Congress that have not been successful, the whole point of overturning Roe versus Wade was to return these battles to the states. Now, the Democrats don't want to do that. But even in the states, because they moved quickly and a lot of mis and disinformation that we tried to combat, but they've got, again, hundreds of millions of dollars to combat it, to fight with, they rushed to the ballots. And they kind of convinced the pro-life community to think, hey, you should rush to the ballots too. We said, no, don't try to rush to the ballots. We need to now. We won Roe versus Wade. Let's spend time really educating voters, educating legislators before we start rushing into trying to make them do ballot initiatives and things like that, which can be very confusing and use complicated language that basically you can feel like you're voting for something pro-life. And it's the most pro-abortion language that they could potentially write because it's written in legalese. So I think that there are ways to kind of minimize what Republicans would be worried about RFK's position Jr.'s on. And I think he just came up with that, which is like,
I think there's a lot
put them in roles where you've already said, like the feds were taking you out of this role anyway.
I think there's honestly a kind of a compassionate nature to his campaign that a lot of Trump kind of conservatives are oddly in support of. They're not people who only say don't ever spend money or don't spend taxpayer dollars on certain things. No, they actually have some heart, spend it well. And I think that's where the RFK base comes in. Right. So let's go ahead and continue on with those calls. Let's go to Gary, who's calling on line three. Gary, listen on SiriusXM. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Gary from New Bedford, Massachusetts. I'm a disabled VA veteran. I'm on my way to the VA right now, as a matter of fact. And I think RFK should be given the opportunity to fill the position that his dad was in the Department of Justice. I don't know if he's ever been a lawyer or anything like that.
He is. He is an environmental attorney. So the question would be, would he want to take on running an entire department that has a division on that, but there, you know, the main division would be, again, is on, you know, federal crime and you know, much larger than. I think he'd want a bigger position than just being the head of the environmental section of DOJ. And again, he might have a broader legal career than I know of. That might just be where he ended up focusing publicly because he has a whole organization that he funds that does this work well. But
that's right, yeah.
He might have a broad enough legal career. I mean, he's a smart person, and honestly, a lot of the people that get put inside those positions are so politically motivated by their beliefs that the law is just kind of utilized for political reasons anyway. So I'm not to say he couldn't run it, but that is one of the most difficult agencies to run because it is full of bureaucrats who will undermine you at almost the toughest way. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people say, how would you take on the DOJ? And it's been tough for Republicans because that it's an agency run by a lot of bureaucrats who went to law school and will throw a lot of hurdles in your way if you're trying to make any reforms.
Well, and you mentioned he was an environmental lawyer. He was one of the principal people at Riverkeeper, which started to help clean up the Hudson River and is now like a national organization. So that's really where his area of law has been going after polluters in waterways. But I think the point that Gary brings up is interesting, that you know that he is against deep state corruption. That is one of clearly something he is concerned about within the federal government. So whether it be the DOJ, I see a lot of people saying maybe he should be the CIA director. That would be a meltdown from the deep state.
RFK, Department of Justice. Yeah, I always think about when I interned at Department of Justice. The building is named after his late father.
So it would be interesting if it were some sort of role that dealt with rooting out corruption in the deep state within the federal government.
Yeah. I think if you asked him, I'm not sure that's the first one he'd pick because, when you think about AGs doing press conferences, right? It's usually major criminal, things like we've caught these cartels, we've caught these drugs. Is that really, is that what you think of as him?
Yeah, we have one more call related to RFK, then we're going to change some topics. We'll still stick on that as well. Dan's calling online too in Washington. Dan, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Dan Matthews from Seattle and the state of Washington. First, I want to thank you guys. My wife and I give to you guys monthly what we can, and that's a way to just increase our giving. It's automatic. I think everybody should really consider that. That's sorry awesome. About the shameless plug, but you need it. And
I appreciate it.
I think that RFK has a lot of talents, like you mentioned, in either Environmental Protection Agency, whatever, but I think consider Surgeon General. Ben Carson is pretty good at Health and Human Services, but Surgeon General, he's got JFK or RFK has a lot of comments he's made about vaccines and mandates and all that, and he would be a great guy to head that up.
Yeah, okay, so Surgeon General, do you have to be a doctor, Will?
So typically it is a senior military medical officer or a senior uniform physician commissioned by the government to fill that role. So, that is why the other caller did mention HHS. I've seen some people even
HHS,
say FDA.
HHS, you do not need to be, yeah.
Yeah,
FDA,
administrator there.
FDA this is interesting. So right now, FDA would be a step down from a cabinet member, but Donald Trump, in part of his negotiations, can make any position inside the government, inside the executive branch cabinet. So he could say, but for you, I'll make FDA cabinet.
What does that change? What's
that? You're in the cabinet meetings. You're one of the members of the cabinet.
That's what I was asking. What's that?
So that raises you to the level of the weekly meeting with the President of the United States. It's a big jump up.
All right. Well, we will be back. We have a second half hour coming up. Make sure you stay tuned. If you lose us in your local station, we're broadcasting live on ACLJ.org, YouTube, and on Rumble. And support the work of the ACLJ during this really important time. Like Jordan said, even when there's big news breaking, sometimes we get lost in the shuffle. Help us continue our fight right now during the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, where all donations are matched and doubled. So go to ACLJ.org right now or scan that QR code on your screen. Even if you just enjoy this broadcast, I encourage you to do that. This doesn't come up free. There's dozens of people who work on this show each and every day. Help support the broadcast. Help support the organization, ACLJ.org. Second half hour coming up in just a moment. Less than a minute break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Sekulow. You've spoken, and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
We will fight.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. We'll take more of those RFK calls, too, because there's talk, it has not happened yet, from his the vice presidential candidate, running mate, Nicole Shanahan, that they she was on a podcast, and then you know, it's been very public, even on Fox and Friends this morning, talking about the idea of dropping their campaign and endorsing President Trump's. And would that be a move where both of them get kind of positions within an administration? RFK obviously likely would get one that would be either near or at cabinet level. And would you be comfortable with that as a, you know, maybe a typical, you know, Republican, conservative, even Christian voter, at 1-800-684-3110? They see right now that their numbers that they look at internally hurt Trump more than they do Harris, and that they feel like, but either way, if they can bring, if they can explain to their voters' will and get their voters who are, again, are like, are the kind of voters that Donald Trump was so successful with in 2016. It's why he won in 2016, is it is people who typically don't vote. It's not people who are independents who decide who to vote for and vote differently each election. It's literally people who usually don't vote at all.
Well, and I think it's really interesting, and it gives us a really a clear picture of the state of the Democrat Party today, is that you had earlier this year Tulsi Gabbard leaving the Democrat Party, writing a book about why, for the love of country, you leave the Democrat Party. Exactly. So someone who comes from a long history of elected Democrats and Democrats in the state of Hawaii, you have RFK Jr., who is royalty within the Democrat Party, being a Kennedy, a part of Camelot, so to speak. And normally, when you see one of these third-party tries by a former Democrat, what do you normally see happen? They do it, they realize it's not going to go anywhere, and then they end up endorsing the Democrat. Right. It's a very unique, almost unprecedented thing to see someone leave a high level of name recognition within a party, run for a third-party slot as an independent, and then say, look, we don't want the Democrat to win. That's what Shanahan was saying. She was very clear. Their two options are, do we stay in and risk, she used the term risk, a Harris presidency, or do we drop out and endorse Donald Trump?
Right.
I think that is a very unique moment in our history, and it should speak volumes about the state of the Democrat Party today when you're having things like this happen.
But, you know, I think, again, we want to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. You want to take a call, Will?
Yes, let's go ahead and go to Jill calling on line one from New Jersey. Jill, you're on Seculo.
Hey, Jill. Hi, guys. Love your show. I'm a monthly donor, and I think that it would be great to have RFK, and that would show that Trump is reaching over the aisle and able to work with other people to get things done for the good of this country. Just because I may be a conservative doesn't mean I don't agree with some Democratic or policies. I mean, we have to come together. And I think it would just be joyous to be able to work with the other side for the good of the people.
Well, and I think, Jill, that's kind of where RFK wants to get back to, right? Which is this idea is that, you know, if you're with someone, I don't think any of us look at a platform, or most, some might, but you look at a platform, you say, I'm 100%. You know, there's nothing I'd want to change about that party's platform. But it's kind of gotten like that once you get elected, right? Because you feel like if I don't stay with my party 100%, the other party, the Democrats, they do. And the handful that don't, they go after and ostracize and kind of remove from the party. So you get kind of concerned that if you're not like 100% always with your party on every issue, it will be the end of your political career. The truth is, none of us are really 100% with any of these parties, even if you consider yourself like a lifelong Republican because of the way the platform is written. And Donald Trump utilized the Republican Party as the best fit for what he defines as the America First or the MAGA policies, and decided this is where I should go. This is the party I should start with. But really interesting phone calls. We'll take more of them. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. We need your financial support. We're in court across the country. Donate today. ACLJ.org.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
To Seculo, we are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Jeff Balaban is joining us as well. And I want to play, before we go to Jeff directly, just to kind of set this up, because remember, this could have been one of the reasons why Waltz was chosen. Remember, Minnesota, very important state for Democrats. And obviously, it's a kind of funky political state. Waltz is the current governor. There have been Republicans in the past. They've been Republican senators in the past. I mean, you've had Tim Pawlenty's. It's got kind of, you get your, you got some others that I think are living in Bali or other places like that, former wrestlers and special forces members. It breeds some interesting politics. So right now there's this group of 100,000 uncommitted Minnesota voters, very pro-Palestinian. And the head of the group was interviewed yesterday on C-SPAN. Let's take a listen.
Our goals are to get a permanent immediate ceasefire and an arms embargo. And we've been doing that through getting our delegates to talk to other delegates. We know that the majority of Democrats support a permanent immediate ceasefire, so we've been hearing a lot of support. We have a delegate sign-on letter that we've been circulating and we've been getting a lot of support for. And we've been talking about an arms embargo. For the first time, we actually heard on the main stage people talking about Gaza, but those words aren't enough, and we want to see actual policy. So we've been negotiating and talking to the Harris campaign and are working to make sure that we hear about actual policy that will save Palestinian lives.
All right. Jeff, I want to go to you right on this. First of all, if she was being honest, which she won't be, the only side in this conflict that is, in fact, even yesterday, agreed to a new ceasefire is the Israelis, who again yesterday with President Herzog and our Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, in the midst of the DNC, in the midst of all these protests, agreed to the terms for a new ceasefire. And it's Hamas and the Palestinians that she speaks for who will not support the ceasefire.
That's right. We also have to be clear, ceasefire is only one way in any terms. In other words, there was a ceasefire on October 6th. It was broken on October 7th. This has been a genocidal war waged by Hamas. And by the way, they are proudly calling it genocidal. They, when they went in October 7th, proudly videotaped and uploaded to social media the most brutal behavior, the worst atrocities imaginable, most actually unimaginable. And that's who we're dealing with on the other side here. And when I say we, not just Israel, but America and the West. And that side is now represented by delegates at the DNC, by members of the Harris campaign, by the people closest to Harris. And what they want is a ceasefire, which really just means they want Israel to stop fighting Hamas. They want Israel to lose the war. They want America to keep on sending what's called humanitarian aid, but is actually aid directly to the people who wage terrorist genocidal wars against Israel and the Jews. And what they want is everything on their terms, that Israel should stand down, they should be able to get money to rebuild, and they're calling this a ceasefire. And meanwhile, Israel, subject to intense pressure by the Democrats, are yielding every step of the way. It's the other side who's saying no, knowing that all this is doing is further and further turning Israel into a pariah state and further enraging their base here in America. And you mentioned Jordan, Minnesota. You know, Minnesota has been the center of tremendous terrorist activity, meaning that that Somali immigrants have gone from there to the Middle East to actively be part of terrorist groups. And this has been going on for decades already. And so it is at one of the several epicenters of true jihadi terrorism in America. And now they've gone mainstream at the DNC.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is this group is saying, listen, we're having conversations and meetings with the Harris campaign, Jeff. And what we're not seeing is in the past, if a group like that would have been saying that, and maybe they got on the phone with some kid at the campaign, the Harris campaign would have said, absolutely not. We're not dealing with this group whatsoever. I mean, this would Democrats 4 years ago, I think even, would have immediately come out and said, there is no way. This is all off the table. We're not even thinking about talking to this group. And yet, they're not doing that, Jeff. They are making a direct play for these 100,000 voters. I'm not going to put it to Harris's mouth that she would actually support an embargo, but I think she would. She's giving, her campaign is at least okay giving an ear to the group that is, because they are trying to get their vote. They want their votes. If I was running for, I don't want these people's votes. I believe, you know, it's like a vote from a terrorist supporting group. That's kind of disgusting to want to actually do things to get their votes. But the Harris campaign doing something that we've never seen either party do before, which is giving an ear to these extremists.
Yeah, this is jolted so extremely. We're not talking about just anti-Semites. We're not just talking about people who hate Jews. We're not just talking about people who hate America. We're talking about active support. This is active, I would argue, material support for ongoing terrorism. For ongoing terrorism that is the stated goal of wiping out every Jew on earth. And that's what these people represent. And they are completely, I mean, they suffuse the DNC now. And as you pointed out before on the show, you know, the person who said that Kamala Harris isn't supporting an embargo, that's not a Harris spokesperson. That's not a campaign spokesperson. That's a Biden administration spokesperson. We have not heard yet from anybody, as far as I know, representing Kamala Harris, let alone from Kamala Harris herself, that she's against an arms embargo.
No, right. I think that's what you said. She's going to be very careful, not necessarily to endorse one, not necessarily to say she's against one. It should go get as much as she can from this group, because they believe a group like this, if they truly represent, there's 100,000 of them in Minnesota, Jeff, and about, you've been in the political world too, 100,000 in Michigan, you add that up, and it makes it very difficult for Republicans to take the White House.
Yeah, those are two very important places. On the other hand, you know, again, most of America is on the other side of this conflict. It's just, it is, you know, these races, as you know, always become these narrow, specific, targeted places, become more important than the overall vote or the overall image. However, the majority of America is still the other way. And if they speak out, and if they vote, and if they really rise up against this, this is an amazing subversion of the Democratic Party by what's going on now. Again, they are not just accepting as allies on the fringes. They are mainstreaming the policies of actual terrorists.
You want to go to a call?
Yeah, I think let's go ahead and take a call that's maybe related to this as well. Let's go to Ann, who's calling in Pennsylvania, on line 5, watching on Facebook. Ann, you're on the air.
Yep.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead. You're on the air, Ann.
Hi, can you hear me? You're breaking up a little bit. Can you hear me?
We can hear you clearly. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. I wasn't sure if I was on the air. Thank you so much for taking my phone call. you know, guys, I'm so tired of this hatred towards the Jews. I'm so sick and tired of it. Now they're burning the American flag. And, of course, at the DNC convention, and they're not saying anything. You guys are absolutely right. It's completely appalling. I also wanted to comment and maybe have a question somewhere in here. So when Kamala speaks, obviously she's going to be speaking from the teleprompter. She's going to be so articulate, right? You know, and they're going to give her all the talking points to say, I want to see our side, like the ACLJ, your great network does. I want to see everything that she says, every potential lie that will be uttered out of her mouth, every form of projection and slander. I want our side. I want our side to really eat that up, to combat it, to speak about it. And I thank you guys at the ACLJ because I can count literally on one hand who is doing that.
Yeah,
and that, for me, is sad.
That is something we will do. You know, the speeches that we believe, and I think that that really starts tonight with Waltz and tomorrow with really.
But she talked about the protesters and obviously that's happening in an extreme sense. And I think Jeff probably has commentary on that as well. When you see you know, the big concern, even for the Democrats, is the protesters that are against Israel and against the Jewish people.
Yeah, listen, this is a great call because I think that Anne represents not just the people who support ACLJ specifically, which is, you know, very intense. Thank God, people who are people of faith and people who care about this country and our freedoms and do care about what's happening to Israel and the Jews. But, you know, even the majority of America who may not be as engaged, if they see, to her point, if they see how bad this is, that they are burning American flags, that they are chanting death to America, it's not just death to Israel, to recognize that this party has mainstreamed it. It's always existed on the fringes. It exists on the fringe of every political party, Republican, Democrat, everything else. But they've mainstreamed it. And now it's very, very close to the White House, to the Oval Office itself. That's what's so frightening.
Yeah, and again, Jeff, I appreciate you joining us on the air. And again, Jeff oversees our office in Israel. And I just want to point out to people, too, that when you've got this kind of move inside nationally happening, right outside the convention, and again, they're not totally condemning what those protesters are standing for. They might condemn some of it. They might condemn parts of it, you know, burning the American flag. But they'll say that they understand, you know, their grievances, and they do understand why they're upset. And now you've got the, I want to know from the Harris campaign, truthfully, like, who has met with this group? How high up have they gotten into the campaign? You know, is it some kid, or is this like real advisors to you? And is that why you chose Waltz? Is that why you chose a Minnesotan who said, when he's having a down day, you know what brings a smile to his face? Ilhan Omar being a congresswoman. The most anti-Semite member of the U.S., House of Representatives, being a congresswoman is what makes her VP choice smile when he's depressed. Logan, I mean, this is, you can't really say it any more specifically than that.
That's pretty direct. Go to ACLJ.org right now to support the work, but also all your phone calls coming up in the next segment. Stay on hold.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months, and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
All right, welcome back to Secchio. We're going to take your calls, too. We got a lot of calls on RFK. We do have calls on the DNC. And I'm not going to totally ignore the fact that we had the Obamas last night. Interesting, because I think that if Democrats aren't successful in this election cycle, you probably have not seen the last of the Obamas when you see how popular they are amongst the party, even though they've been pretty quiet until Joe Biden was out and Harris was in. A little backstory, too. Harris endorsed Obama over Hillary Clinton back in the day. So they even when she was, she was 20 years behind him in like where she was politically, you know, at the level. But something that I'm sure they don't forget is that when Hillary Clinton was getting most of the endorsements, she was willing to take a risk in the Democrat Party and support Barack Obama. So probably there's more of a relationship there than you. That has probably even been discussed a lot publicly, and it's why you've seen them, I think, return to politics in such a direct way. And it actually wasn't Barack Obama. He kind of gave the speech I would imagine he was going to give, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. It was Michelle Obama, a former first lady, who actually threw the biggest political hits, some which I think are dangerous because of what we've already seen happen to President Trump on this campaign. Take a listen. This is kind of the section I'm talking about. This is really all we're going to get into from that, because I think it was the most memorable part.
See, his limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be black. Wait. I want to know. Who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs? It's his same old con. His same old con. Doubling down on ugly, misogynistic, racist lies.
Okay. I mean, those kind of language. Then again, I think you're making fun with the black jobs thing, but that's clearly not what he meant about that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about jobs being taken from illegal immigrants, from people in this economy who are hurting the most economically. If you look at that economically data, guess who it is? African Americans. But they don't care about that in the Democrat Party, even they're supposed to be for the African Americans, right? They're making fun of that as a statement, even though it's a true statement about who is getting hurt the most inside this current economic environment.
Yep.
Second, when you call people racist and things like that, more shooters come out to rallies, Logan.
Yeah, I think that's
they are doing something good for the country. When you take out, if you take those words and he's that person, then getting rid of that kind of person is like a positive for the United States.
Yeah, it's almost a duty for some people, feel like it. All right, let's go.
Especially if you're crazy.
Yeah, that's what I meant. There's comments coming in and calls. Let's get as many as we can. Barb's calling on line 6. You've been on hold for a while and you're an ACLJ champion. I'm sorry about that. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say that I tried watching the DNC last night. I did. I tried.
Yeah.
Because you guys said I should listen, so I tried.
Jordan said you should listen,
but
I didn't watch it.
I
was in and out. My eyes were opening and closing after Michelle Obama. Like, yeah, I could. She kept me up because she started saying the racist stuff. I said, okay, where's this going? Barack Obama, on the other hand, he just kind of came out and I kind of just said, I've heard this voice before. But go ahead, Barb.
After hearing some of the things the Obamas said, I just couldn't stomach it anymore. Hearing Obama say how democratic it was that Joe Biden stepped aside for the good of democracy, I'm like, he didn't step aside. He was pushed out. I'm like, I can't and I won't watch it anymore. I just can't stomach it. I can't handle it.
Listen, I totally get it. The first two nights of this were, first of all, the first night was just impossible. I have kids to go to school. It's like 7:30, you know, drop-offs at 7:30. So, just watching Joe Biden talk at 1 a.m. is not really like,
yeah.
If I'm going to go to 1 a.m., it's not for Joe Biden ever.
Yeah.
Okay. And then two is, unless I just can't sleep that night, maybe randomly. But two, even last night, it was got late again. I mean, they did a little better, but not that much.
They were
much.
Still over 30 minutes behind schedule right. just from the get-go.
I went to an event, came back the night that I already pre-scheduled the Trump spoke, and it was still happening after a four-hour musical that I went to. So I mean, these events do go long.
Yes, yes. No, I will say that the Republican National Convention is a little bit more timed until he's okay. until okay. the main speaker until you know, Trump can take as long as he wants, but the others.
Still
you know, it's boom, 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 boom. They start playing the music. Let's just say they start playing the music. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
They had an interesting. I think the most interesting part was how they were doing the delegates, but it took forever. It was cool sounding, but the volume was really like the guy doing it obviously was not in sync with the DJ.
Yes, it was a mess.
It was just again tonight's important. Most of us have not been governed by Tim Walz. So let's see what he has to say tonight.
Let's go ahead and take some more phone calls. Terry's calling, also an ACLJ champion. You're on the air, Terry.
Yes, I was going to say RFK, I think, would be good in housing and urban development or health and human services. And also, I appreciate the abortion deception you're uncovering and would love help with that in Missouri since it's on the ballot in November.
Yep. Well, listen, I mean, this is again, we will, I'll have our team look at what is going on in Missouri, who proposed the language. As well, it's very important to know which side proposed it. And in some of these states, what we do is we've gone and filed and said, this language is so unclear that voters will not understand what they're voting on. And it's not to demean the voters. But if you didn't go to law school and specialize in abortion law or in this kind of specific kind of law that we handle, you'd think you'd be voting for abortion bans and you'd be voting for abortion with no restrictions, literally. You could read something and think you were voting for a full ban on abortion, and it's the exact opposite because of words thrown in that you won't think are important, words like and, or health that can be thrown in. So, very important, Terry, and we will check into that. I'll have our team note that. We have our team listening to the broadcast. Note that. Look up Missouri. Look up the ballot initiative. Let's take a look at the language, see if it's clear, and see what we should be encouraging people to vote, which is yes or no, decide who put the ballot measure forward. We go back to the. Do we have time?
Yeah, we take one more call. Yeah. Let's go to Amy, who's calling in Pennsylvania on line 3. I'm sorry, Whitney and Jeanette, we're not going to be able to get to you today. Amy, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. First of all, I appreciate everything that you do at the ACLJ. I've been a supporter for a couple of years now since I found you. But my take is on the RFK issue. I'm a conservative Republican, and I can tell you, like, I would wholeheartedly welcome that man. In some areas like health and human services where he has a lot of expertise when it comes to vaccinations and children's health. I do totally disagree with him on the issue of abortion, but that doesn't mean that this man doesn't have a place potentially.
Right. He's about 85% of where a lot of us are on abortion.
He moved a lot.
He moved, Amy, from saying no restrictions on abortion to there should never be an abortion because of a financial. Well, if you take that out, that's most abortions at Planned Parenthood.
Well, I think what's interesting,
most abortions at Planned Parenthood are not because of medical reasons. They're because of just economic, or I don't feel like having it. I don't want this burden.
I think this was really interesting. We had a lot of great calls, a lot of support for RFK, really, to get behind. I mean, more than I was expecting. I think that's something
people
that the Trump campaign clearly is saying.
And Trump campaign, you should probably welcome him in as quickly as possible yeah. and offer him the cabinet position that he likes,
yeah.
he wants.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is people are cool with him. In the health world, they're cool with him. In the legal world, they're cool with him. Even we had heard somebody in the EPA. I'm not sure West Virginia voters would love him in the EPA yet, but I don't know. I haven't got his position on clean coal. I mean, maybe we just have to dig a little deeper on that.
Who knows? Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Support the work of the ACLJ. You got to go to ACLJ.org. You got to make that financial donation today if you can.
Yeah, this is a major time for us. We are behind, and that is because the attention kind of shifts to just politics. But no, our work is really triple-doubling down. Go to ACLJ.org right now today and make a financial contribution. It will be doubled. We need it.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Sekulow. You've spoken, and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand-new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.